Glad you guys are here. We're wrapping up our series today on tripping. I love this series because I love missions. I love missions because at a younger age, I honestly thought that God was going to use me as a foreign missionary. I thought that's where my place was going to be. I didn't fully understand at the time, and I always thought that I was going to be a missionary like in some other country. And so I even used it to my benefit, not as a, I mean, remember, I was much less mature than I am now. But I would say things like I would be dating a girl and I would see it's not really working, and then I would pull the missionary card like, you know what, this really isn't working because I'm going to be a missionary. And they would like, oh, I'm not going to be no missionary. I'd say, I didn't think so. So, you know, now it didn't work with Cynthia. Thank you. It didn't work with Cynthia, thank God. She didn't fall for that. And in fact, she was like, heck yeah, she was excited about it. And it wasn't until we started this church that God really spoke to me one day in prayer and said, this is the mission field I've called you to. And you know, and the mission field was about doing church to reach unchurched people. And just like a missionary goes to a foreign country and a missionary learns the culture, a missionary learns the people, and they bring God, they bring Jesus into this culture so that the people understand and they can relate and they can have relationship with them. That's the same principle that we bring in as we want to do church for people that don't know God. So this series to me is like pulls at all heartstrings in my life because first of all, it's about the heart of God, and we're going to look at that. But more, just equally with that, it's who God's called us to be as a church. And more than that, it's who God's called us to be as people. The Urban Dictionary says that tripping is when someone is overreacting or getting all bent out of shape about something. And as I expand the definition, so to speak, of this, in a spiritual sense, tripping is living the missional life. It is when Jesus' mission and his focus becomes our mission and our focus. That's what living the missional life is. When we talk about this tripping thing, we're talking about Jesus' purpose becoming our purpose. And living that out, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. Tripping is also a life of reaching people. It's sharing what Jesus has done for us personally, and also what Jesus has done on the cross. That's what this tripping is about. It's the message, and it's also partnering with God's activity. That God is active in this world, and we get to partner with God in what he's doing in the lives of people. That is, to me, incredible. Tripping is also the life of every Christ follower. And you may not feel qualified today, but I'm telling you, if you have made Christ the center of your life, if you've given your life to Christ, that is the only qualification that is necessary. And not just that qualification, but now that means you have been chosen by God with this great opportunity that we're going to look at. So tripping happens when Jesus' mission of reaching people becomes our focus and our purpose. So the mission that Jesus had of reaching people that were disconnected from God, that same mission becomes our mission, as we'll see. This is not a mindset. This is not something that we think, okay, I got to remember to do this. This is a heart thing. This is something that just flows. God, when we come into relationship with God, his spirit fills us with love. That love then gets distributed to people around us. That's what this is about. It's not something we think, oh, I have to do this, or I have to do this. It's something we just allow God to work through us. So every day is this opportunity to reach people. And if we remember, Jesus said this to his followers as well as to us. He says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. As the Father has sent me on a mission, he goes, I'm sending you out on this same mission. He also said in the Great Commission that we're to go and make disciples of all nations. So there's this constant theme with every Christ follower that we're sent, that we're to go. He said to the 12 disciples, he sent them out ahead of them. The 70 apostles, he sent them out in pairs ahead of him. He sent out the early church, and he sent us out as well. So all of these people have become an expression of Jesus' mission in this world. Now, since every Christ follower is been sent to share. Here's why that's so important. God has a strategy of reaching people, and you are it. I want that to sink in. God has a strategy of reaching lost people in this world. He has one strategy. You know, we all have goals, right? And the way that we accomplish those goals is the strategy that we use. God has a strategy. And the strategy is using you and I. Now, Acts 1:8 reminds us that we will be his witnesses, telling people about him everywhere we go. So what that tells us is missions reaches people in our homes, it reaches people at our work, it reaches people in our neighborhood, across the country, around the world, wherever we are at, this becomes an expression of our heart to reach people. And most of us feel unqualified to do this. So what happens is, because we feel unqualified, we don't do it. And here's what happens when we don't do it. We start feeling guilty because we know what's expected. And then we carry around the guilt, and we have to do something with this guilt. We suppress it. Or maybe we say, you know what, it's just not my gift. Jesus never said, hey, if your gift happens to be sharing with others my love, then do it well. He said, I'm giving this to everybody to do. Do it well, and I'm with you. I'm with you in this 100%. You're not out here on your own. I will help you every step of the way. And because God's strategy includes us, we need to get this. Here's how God's strategy helps or how it affects us. God's purpose for us is to share his love that's in us. It's that simple. God's purpose for you is to share his love that is in you. It is really that simple. He gives us love, and all we have to do is share that with the people around us. I think this is another fill-in that's important to write down. It's when we know who we are that we'll know what to do. And I say that because a lot of people, a lot of Christ followers don't really know who they are. You ask them, hey, who are you as a Christ follower? And our response is, in this kind of false sense of humility, is I'm just an average Christian. You know, I'm a single mom, or I'm a construction worker, or I do this, or I do that. I'm no one special. I'm just an average Christian. That's all I am. I'm just a Christ follower. We say things like, I'm not important. But here's the problem. There is nothing unimportant about you. There is nothing average about you, because the Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit now dwells in you personally. There's nothing average about that. I mean, if you go on, Scripture says that you're a new person. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. So Scripture tells us that you're a new creation. You're one of a kind. You're a masterpiece. You're an overcomer. You're a child of God. But what we're going to look at today is all of these things is who we are. And as we know who we are, it tells us how we act. But here's one that we miss, and that is this. You are an ambassador. And we'll look at this. This is in 2 Corinthians 5 as well. It picks up this way. God brought us back to himself through Christ. And God gave us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful ministry or message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us, through you. We speak for Jesus when we plead, come back to God. I like how the Living Bible says it too. It says, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is using us to speak to you, and we beg you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you. Receive the love that he offers. Be reconciled to God. That is simply it. We're asking people to respond to the love of God that has already been given to them. It gets much more complicated than what it needs to be. So you're not just a regular person. You're not just the average Joe Christian. You're an ambassador. Everywhere you go, family, friends, coworkers, neighbors. And if we just get this, if I can just say this, maybe this helps. If I'm real and you're not sure what to say, maybe this will help, okay? Maybe if we start by saying things like, you know what, I care about you and God cares about you. I care about you because God cares about you. You are important. You're not just some person, you're not just something that I check off as something I have to do. I care about you. Another one is, I'm praying for you. That when we tell people that we're praying for them, you will be surprised how appreciative people are that we would take the time to go to God, qualified to go to God themselves. So many times, Cynthia has friends at work, and she'll talk to them, and she'll say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you. And that's like, you're not supposed to do that at work, at school. She's that school teacher. But people are like, would you? Like, shocked. You would really pray for me? Because anytime we invest in people, anytime we say, hey, we'll go to God for you, gosh, that shows that we care. Another thing is we say is, you know, I'd like to hear your story. When we take the time to listen to their story. But also hearing their story allows us to point out God's activity that they don't recognize, because people that don't have a relationship with God don't necessarily see his activity in their life. So when they talk about their past and they talk about the things that have gone on, it's easy for us that have a relationship with God to come and say, wow, look at God's activity in your life all through this time. And they go, I never saw that. Because their eyes are blinded to, they can't see it. But we get to point it out that God is actually involved and active in their lives even when they don't know it and they don't see it. Another thing is this. Another thing we can say is, come to church with me. And I realize this is not about church attendance. It's about connecting people to God. And if you say, hey, I don't know what to share, I don't know what to say, then invite them to come here. And a way that we show that we care is we invite them to come with us to do life with us. We're not just pointing people on a direction. We're saying, come with me. And what that does is that invites them into relationship, not just with God, but with me as well. It communicates that we care. So please hear me. I'm not carelessly setting this up as a system. I'm trying to help us to see that love is the goal. And love is not difficult when we open our hearts to other people. Love's not difficult. We make it difficult. So we need to know who we are. Then we'll know what to do. The scripture points out some important things that we need to know about who we are. And as I said, first of all, but this is another fill-in, we are ambassadors of Christ. That's who you are. And if you think about that, you are a person that represents Jesus no matter where you go. To people that do not have relationship with God, you represent Jesus to them. You represent him in your actions. You represent him in your conversation. You represent him in where you go and what you do. You represent Christ to people that are not connected to him. That's what an ambassador does. Listen, as an ambassador, we're not just here on a sightseeing tour. Well, look at this. We've got a mission. You represent Jesus to people that don't know him. And this message that we give requires love. If we don't have love, then what will happen is our message will become a message of judgment, because we will go into meddling when we stop loving people. We also need to know that an ambassador shares the message and heart of the person that they represent, that God loves them just as they are. God accepts them just as they are, that God wants to help them and he wants to do life with them, that God has a plan and a purpose for them, because people that are disconnected do not feel that they deserve God's love, because they know their past, they know their hang-ups, they know their mistakes. They do not realize that God has already forgiven their sins and all they have to do is accept that as a gift. See, we get to be a part of sharing this hope. We make it as something that's complicated and something difficult. Something else we need to know about it being an ambassador has an assignment to live out. In other words, reconciling people is the assignment given, not the suggestion that's offered. Okay, it's not a suggestion that Jesus says, hey, you're going to reconcile people. This is a task that was given to all of us. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:18 says. God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. And I'm not saying that this is a task like a job, but what I'm saying is it is important. In fact, what it reminds us is this: we can't be complacent with anything that matters to God. We can't. We cannot afford to be complacent with anything that matters to God. Because as soon as we get complacent, then what we say is, what I think is important is more important than what God thinks is important. What I value is more important than what God values. See, what matters to God matters to us. And we can discover what matters to God by looking at the mission that he gave his son. And here's a couple of things about that mission that he gave his son. God's mission reveals his heart. And his mission, his heart is this. It's found in 2 Peter 3:9. I didn't list it for you. You can write it down and read it later if you want to. But God's purpose and God's heart is this. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We can't say, oh, you know what? That's just who they are. They're going to have to find their own way. God does not want anyone to perish. That is a part of his heart. Also, when we look at God's mission is about the lost. And that's what John 3:16 tells us. So if you want to look at this in this way, maybe this will help. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us what God's heart is like. God doesn't want anybody to perish. John 3:16 tells us what that heart does. And that heart, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that anyone who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, God sent his son for those that are disconnected. God sent his son for those that are hurting, those that are isolated, addicted. God sent his son to those that are broken and those that are lost. He sent his son for us and the world. You know the scripture in Luke 19. It says, Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came for all of us. So knowing God's mission and why he was sent to reach people, we come to understand that Jesus' mission is our mission too. It's not just his. It's not just something God gave to him. This is something that we have to take ownership of. See, what the Father has sent us to do, Jesus now sends us to do. And that means that our mission, your mission, is about the lost. And just so we get this, Luke 15, Jesus shares three stories. You've heard them before, but I'm going to share them again because they're so important. Jesus wants us to understand this whole idea of how important the lost are. And he gave three stories, and each of these stories communicates something different about this lost agenda and this lost purpose that we all have. The first story Jesus gives is about lost sheep. And I want to read it for you. There's a lot of scripture, so I didn't put it on the screens, but you can just listen. It says this, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And then when he finds it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders, and when he arrives, he will call his friends and his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. And in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others who are righteous and have never strayed. Some important things that we get out of that is simply this: you count things that you value. You count the things in your life that you value. You count what is important. And people that are important matter. They matter to us because they matter to God. Another thing we learn is when something is lost, it changes your focus. When something that we love, when something that we value is lost, it changes our focus in life. I've told you this story before, but I want to say it again because it just hits the point. When Jordan and Caleb were really young, Jordan, I believe, was 6 years old, and we were at Disneyland, and we were looking around. You know, we had been there for a little bit of time, and we were trying to decide what we were going to do and where we were going to go, and you know how that goes. So we went to this area, and we were just kind of there waiting and trying to figure out where we were going to go. And right in front of us is this river of people. I mean, thousands of people just walking by, not just like strolling, but walking. So there's like a current to this. You basically have to get into the current and it'll take you down, right? You've been there. You've seen what it's like. And so we are there and we're trying to decide what's going to happen and where we're going to go. We kind of get this plan going. And then we go, okay, Caleb's in the stroller. That's good. Cynthia, Jordan. Where's Jordan? And we're like, holy smokes, Jordan's not here. There's no place for Jordan to be other than in this river of people. And we begin to freak out. And seriously, you know, I can't frantically go running after him because the river allows you to only go a certain pace. You have to go the pace of the river of people. And sure enough, we're walking and we're looking, and thank God I'm tall, I can see over everybody, but I get this aerial view kind of, and I'm looking, trying to look for this lost son. And sure enough, the six-year-old finds his way to some kind of stand where they were selling something, which every kid would go to, I guess. But he thinks to tell the person that he's lost, and here we get to find him, and it changes our focus. Immediately, we're not there to have fun anymore. Now we're there to search out this person that we love. And that's exactly what our lives take on, this new agenda. Once we value something, it takes on how our focus, what really matters. I think that's what Jesus is saying. When people are important to you, your focus will change. You'll care about where they are spiritually, and you'll do all you can to be a part of seeking them out. See, the second story that we've got to understand, second story is story of the lost coin. It says this, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. And in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. The message goes on to tell it this way, count on it. That's the kind of party God's angels throw every time one lost soul turns to God. I love that concept. That every time one lost soul turns to God, there's a party in heaven. See, and some things we get from this is the value of what is lost determines the intensity of our search and celebration. The value of what is lost, when something really matters to you that is lost, It changes how desperate you are to find it, and it also changes how much you celebrate. Because it's all a part of what we value most. And that's why all of heaven rejoices, because lost people matter. And somehow we have fooled ourselves to believe that that's their agenda and not our agenda. That's what they value, so we can value something else that we don't need to value. Listen, we cannot live in a place where we don't value what heaven values. See, the value of what is lost will always determine the intensity of your search and your celebration. Here's another truth from the story. We will celebrate what heaven celebrates. And I kind of repeated that point because I want us to understand this is about our focus. This is like a declaration. We have to choose ahead of time what we will celebrate. If we don't choose ahead of time what we will celebrate, if we don't say, you know what, this is important and this is what we celebrate, then what will happen is we will get distracted and we will start celebrating things that don't matter. Churches all over the United States, churches all over the world are celebrating things that don't matter when they're not celebrating the lost. We can celebrate dumb stuff. Yeah, it's great that we could put new carpet in or we can do something, but that's not what we celebrate. That's not the mission. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is to connect and to reach lost people. So we will celebrate what heaven celebrates. Otherwise, we'll be distracted. The third story Jesus gives is about a lost son, and you know it as the story of the prodigal son. I just want to read it quickly. It says, to illustrate this point further, Jesus told him a story. A man has two sons, and the younger son told his father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. So his father agreed and divided his wealth between the sons. It's always the younger son. Us older kids. The older kids, we got our heads together. The younger sons, they're always the rebellious ones. But listen, a few days later, his younger son packed all of his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all of his money in wild living. And one of the things that we see about this distant land, this place that is so intriguing to any of us that have experienced rebellion in our lives, this place where the grass is greener somewhere else, where things are better somewhere else, when I can go here, everything will be okay. Here's one of the things that the distant land does to us. It always brings separation and pain. It always brings separation and pain. It will separate us from the people that love us, and it will always bring pain to their hearts, because that's what the distant land does. Another thing the distant land does is it will take all that you have. And that's exactly what it did to this young man. He spent all of his money, everything he had, because the distant land will take everything. It goes on, it says, the young man became so hungry that even the pods that he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger, and I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, and filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. And I love that story. We all love that story. Because what it does, it tells us and it reminds us that love anticipates the return of what's lost. Love always has hope. Love anticipates the return of what's lost. We anticipate because we pray. We anticipate because God gives us patience and God gives us faith for what is to come. But love always anticipates the return of what is lost. Another thing is love runs to others when they return. That's what love does, is it runs to them. We don't just go, listen, if you don't value people that are lost, when people show up, you kind of go, well, yeah, well, we'll see how long that lasts. You heard people say that? Or we'll say, you know what? It's their fault they're in the condition they are anyway. They made some really bad choices, like we all haven't. But you see, that's what happens. When we don't have love, we have judgment. So God calls us to love, and love runs to them. Another thing is the Father longs for them to experience new life. Here's what he said. He calls his friends when his son is found, and he says, there's this big party that's planned. He says, for this son of mine was dead and is now returned to life. He was lost, but now he was found. So the party began. Here's what I love about this. I won't want us to miss this. In these stories, the shepherd went looking for the lost sheep. In these stories, the woman went looking for the lost coin. No one went looking for the son. No one went looking for the son. See, here's what, according to customs, it was the responsibility of the older brother to go after the younger brother. That's what we miss. You might know this and it might make some sense and it might, the buttons or the things might line up and you might understand, but the scripture tells us that Jesus is our older brother spiritually. He's the one who has gone on before us. So in this family, that Jesus, that Christ is our elder brother. And that's exactly what Jesus did, is he left heaven going after. As the older brother, he went after the younger brother, us. He came to this earth in pursuit of finding us. And here's the deal. We've got to get this. I don't want you to miss it. Now we have this mission to carry out the heart and responsibility of the older brother. You have the mission. Dave, come on, I'm not qualified. Does Jesus reside within you? Then you're qualified. Not only qualified, it's your responsibility as the older brother. 2 Peter 2:25 says this, you were lost sheep, all of us, with no idea of who you were or where you were going. But because of Jesus, now you're named, kept for good by the shepherd of your souls. Listen, when we really get that, and man, I hope that sinks in. When you really get that you were lost and God came looking for you, you're going to look at people differently. You're going to look at family members differently. You're going to look at your neighbor differently. You're going to look at people that are disconnected and go, they need somebody like I needed somebody. They needed somebody to love them like I needed somebody. Our purpose changes when we know who we are. We'll know what to do. If you're standing, you may be seated for just a moment. I want to wrap up our time together, and I want you to experience something. How different your life is because Jesus came looking for you, because he pursued you. I mean, we look at him, we can't... When we recognize and we look at what Jesus has done in our lives, it's just night and day. Because we're now citizens of heaven, because we are part of the quest, because we have the heart of God, because his mission is our purpose. Because of that, there's some declarations that I think we need to make. And I want to go through these quick, but first of all, the first declaration is this. It will always be about the one for us. It will always be about the one, the lost. Because we share Jesus' mission, our lives are about reaching the lost. We've got to get that straight. We've got to understand it. We can't get distracted, nor can we find ourselves in a place where we're wavering with different purposes. We will always be about the lost. See, God's Spirit is maturing us. He is constantly forming and shaping us into the image of His Son. And as we are shaped into the image of His Son, guess what happens? His priorities become our priorities. That's why I say it'll always be about the lost, because Jesus' mission was about the lost. That's why He came. The more that we mature, the more we will be concerned for the lost as well. Because they are God's priority, they become our priority. So here's what that might look like. We stop living to make ourselves happy. Maybe we start living to help others. We stop letting our fears dictate how we live, and maybe we step out of our comfort zone to reach people that we have not reached before. We stop spending all of our money on ourselves and we start giving to God. Maybe we start investing in God's kingdom and reaching people. Maybe we step out of this comfort zone that we've created for ourselves. Maybe we stop lying to ourselves and saying, you know what, that's not my problem, because you know what, it is your problem. It's all of our problem. And we cannot be complacent with what matters to God. Because we share His mission, we will stop at nothing and we will give up anything to be a part of reaching the lost. Stop at nothing and give up anything that keeps us, that allows us to be a part of reaching the lost. See, because this is not a short-term mission. This is a life mission that we're called to for every Christian. So we can't allow distractions to divert our focus. We can't allow shallowness or selfishness to creep in and to allow that to be a part of what our life is about. This is about valuing the lost. Because of what they are value, how God has valued them, it changes how we value people that are disconnected from God. And there will always be a cost attached to reaching people disconnected from God. I want you to get that. There will always be a cost of reaching the lost. It cost Jesus his life. Now, thank God you don't have to die, because Jesus already died. He's the Son of God. He's the one who died for their sins. You don't have to do that. But listen, if it's going to be our mission, it will always cost. Always. Sometimes it's giving up our preferences, it's investing our time, it's investing our talents. As I said, it's giving financially. And maybe that's like next week, we're buying a burrito and giving extra to help reach kids in Kids Quest area so that we increase their resources and they can reach lost kids. See, it's about investing because that's where our heart is at. I would ask us, what is the priority of your life? Are you the priority? Is that where you invest all of your money, is around you? Or where does God's kingdom lie in that? Because if you ever want to see what your priorities are, look at where you spend your money. Look at where you invest that money. Also, we share his mission to reach people that others are not reaching. We have to do things that others are not doing. If we're going to reach people that other people are not reaching, then we have to do things that other people are not doing. And I'm going to say it this way. We do all that we can without sinning to reach people. We have to do all that we can without sinning to reach people. I don't know what that looks like to you, but it's stepping out of the box. And I think that the greatest thing is asking God, God, what is it that you're asking of me? If my greatest priority is to reach somebody that is disconnected from God, God, what are you asking of me to do? Because that's what I'm willing to do. I don't want anything to get in the way of what you're asking me to do. See, because we share his mission, we will welcome home with open arms and open heart every lost and broken person who walks through the doors. We will welcome home with open hearts and open arms every lost and broken person who walks through these doors. And I would say it this way, it's not just welcoming them into these doors, it's welcoming them into our life. Because we're choosing to do life with them. We're choosing to bring them along to come with us. I want you to close your eyes. I just want you to listen, and we're going to pray together in just a moment. I want you to think about this with your eyes closed. The mission, don't miss this, the mission that God has given his son, the mission that Jesus gave his followers, the mission that was given to the early church to reach the lost is now in your hands. The baton has been passed. You hold the baton for a mission that's ahead. The scripture says, run your race well, because nobody's running it for you. I want that to sink in. That the mission of God, his purpose and his plan from the very beginning was to reconcile lost people to himself. And he's taken that purpose, that mission, and he's entrusted it in your hands. The future church rests with you. I believe what we believe about eternity changes how we live today. And I think it changes how we see others. And I think it changes how we live personally. I think we stop living for ourselves. When we understand what eternity is really about, we stop living for ourselves and we start living for God and living and investing in those that are lost. I want to pray for you. And in today, if you're here and you don't have Christ in your life and you've not made him the center of your life, this is the day to do it. God loves you beyond your wildest imagination. He cares about you. But if you're here and you already have Christ in your life and but maybe you have not valued the lost, and maybe you've made life more about yourself than about others, I want to challenge you today to ask God to help you to step outside of your comfort zone, to not be complacent with what matters to God, to make his mission your purpose, your focus. Father, we come to you this morning. First of all, for those that are here that may not know you, they may not be in relationship with you, but they want your love to fill their lives. Father, I pray that you would just wash away the past of guilt, wash away the sin, wash away the control, the desire, the need to be in control. Father, wash away anything and everything that you want removed. Father, give a clean slate, a new beginning, a fresh start. Father, I pray that you would pour within them your love. May they experience you beyond anything that they've ever experienced before. May your love begin to change them and how they look at others. Father, help us all. Help us to be people that care about what matters to you. Father, forgive us for being complacent. Father, as we hold the baton, as it's been passed to us, as we recognize that there is a mission of the older brother that we carry, Father, give us strength. Give us courage. Give us faith. Father, we give ourselves, we give our hearts, we give our lives to your cause. And I just ask today that we would be people that care about what you care about, that our lives would be about reaching those that you love. Father, help us to be the individuals that reach out as somebody reached out to us. And we ask this, Lord, in your name, for your glory. Amen.